Hello and welcome to The Happydemic, a podcast by young people showcasing good things that young people are doing during the era of COVID-19. Each week we'll bring you good news and stories straight to your podcast feeds and socials. My name is Dylan Storer and hosting with me today is Brennan Backman and Kendra Jewell. How are we all today?
Really good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm going pretty well. How are you, Brendan?
Really well, thank you. Very excited to be a part of this wonderful project, hearing and seeing with any luck what people are up to around the world and Australia during this rather crazy time.
Yeah, definitely. Look, we can't be much more socially distant than we are at the moment. We're all in three separate recording locations. I'm in Broome in northern Western Australia and you're both in Melbourne. And it's very interesting times, but I think it's a very interesting project. What are you sort of most looking forward to, I guess, like about this project?
Well, I think first of all, you talk about us all being in very different places. I think that's very reflective of the coronavirus pandemic because we could be living next door to each other and we'd still be doing this via the internet. I think I'm fascinated to see the way that people are using technology to try and restore some sense of normality in their lives over this time and how people continue to adapt as, look, no doubt restrictions are going to reduce, but life will never go back to being quite the same. There's negatives, but I'm sure there's positives as well. What about yourself, Kendra?
I'm very excited for what's coming up on the podcast, listening to people's stories about how they're becoming innovative during this time. I think we can definitely focus on more positives rather than the negatives at the moment, which is really good.
Coming up on today's show, we'll be talking about what's happening in the world of music and entertainment and how Client Liaison is trying to bring Ansett Australia back. I'm excited. Xenia will also be interviewing Kai Lavelle, a Perth teen who has built a website to help support small businesses during the pandemic period.
But first, this week's good news correspondent, Lachlan Brickley, with the good news wrap. This is The Happydemic.
Thank you, guys. Great to be here bringing some positive vibes. On today's good news wrap, Dinner on the Driveway events help people feel connected during isolation. Small bars innovate to bring nightlife to the home. Legally Blind 10-year-old joins a radio team as sports announcer, and how a New Yorker started dating his neighbour during isolation. Let's get into this week's good news. Driveway dinners are among the ways that people have started using their driveways during isolation. David Morgan of Port Macquarie's Grace Church has said dinner on the driveway means that we can stay with our families on the driveway and follow social distancing rules, but still see our neighbours and socialise with them. Mr. Morgan said neighbourhood connections are growing in importance as many people were currently unable to visit families. This is especially difficult in times like Easter. The first official driveway dinner event was held over the Easter weekend. You could hear noise, laughter and conversation. It was a bright atmosphere, Mr. Morgan said. On the night, people are encouraged to order their meal from a local outlet to support struggling businesses. Driveway dinner nights have also been hosted throughout other towns across Australia over this past weekend. How lovely is that? I think I'll have to rally up my neighbours for a driveway dinner. The restrictions around the country have been a hard hit to pubs, bars and clubs. To combat this, bars are bringing nightlife to you. Local online whiskey tasting, home-delivered brunch and takeaway margaritas are just some of the ways small bars are keeping afloat. Ben Abraham, along with his two business partners, have started to sell mixed six-packs and single-serve takeaway cocktails. Later this month, the company will host an online whiskey tasting where people pre-purchase a whiskey pack and sit down for an interactive session with business owners via online video streaming. Mr. Abraham says, "You can't discount the fact that we've locked up half the population. Everyone's looking for stuff to do. There's only so much Netflix you can watch. Ain't that the truth? If you have any recommendations, please let me know." On to our next story, which is less related to our current climate, but certainly close to our hearts here at The Happydemic. At just 10 years old, Christopher McLeod Barrett has become a regular correspondent on a sports radio show. Christopher was born with Peter's anomaly, which means he's legally blind. Christopher was able to call his first game featuring his beloved Brisbane Broncos. Sports announcer and former NRL coach Matthew Elliott said he's scared that he'll lose his job just because Christopher is so much better and smarter than him. Good on you, Christopher. We look forward to hearing more. Regulations have certainly changed our daily lives. They've really changed the world of dating. However, some people aren't letting the regulations kill the romance. When New Yorker Jeremy Cohen noticed his neighbour dancing on the nearby rooftop, he sent her a message using his drone with his phone number, asking her to give him a call. After texting back and forth, Jeremy asked Tori out to dinner. The two had their first date over FaceTime, where Jeremy set up dinner on his balcony and worked with Tori's roommate to do the same for her. Then Jeremy even went a step further and enclosed himself in an inflatable Zorb ball so the two could take a socially distant walk around the neighbourhood. Jeremy originally noticed Tori when documenting people on their roofs during quarantine. One of his photos even made the cover of New York Magazine. Excuse me a moment while I just take some notes. God knows I could use the help. Well, that's it for the good news wrap. If you have any good news stories that you'd like to share with us, hit us up on the socials at The Happydemic. That's at The Happydemic on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. All right, on with the show. Back to you guys.
It is always good to get some good news into your system. That was this week's Good News Wrap with Lachlan Brickley. This is The Happydemic. I'm Brendan and I'm joined by Kendra and Dylan still, and we've thought it was worth having a little bit of a chat about that fascinating story regarding Jeremy and Tori dating in New York in isolation. Do you guys have any experiences to share? Anything you'd like to add to that discussion?
Oh, look, No, not any personal stories, to be completely honest. I think it's really interesting, like, looking at that that video, because I've seen the video of that story in New York. It's been relatively quite big. And I think what it shows is that a lot of people, you talk about dating in New York or dating during coronavirus, I don't think that's the biggest part of it. I think people are really looking for entertainment and looking for a little bit of fun in this time. So that's why I think the video and that story went viral. I mean, you know, someone meeting someone in New York City, like, happens every second of the day. But I think this is really unique, seeing it happen during coronavirus times.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It was a pretty cool video as well. Good production value.
And I mean, pretty incredible use of things like Zorb balls. I'm sure, not sure if there was a sponsorship deal there or not, but very, very clever regardless. And I also, I mean, I think it's something that everyone's facing. There's been a lot of issues in Australia about whether we are or aren't allowed to see our partners or people we're in a relationship with over some of the restrictions in different states. And for me personally, I've been several hundred kilometers away from my partner, which is quite a unique challenge in and of itself, and can't really go back and see each other. So let's just say that thank goodness for social media, right? And the ability to instant message and video and voice call over long distances. It really does make all the difference.
Yeah, definitely. It really can. How about you, Kendra? Like, how are you dealing with, I mean, not dating in this world, but just keeping connection with friends and family?
I think it's, for me, it's actually quite hard because, yeah, we'll catch up on Zoom and talk with my friends, not dating, but friends, and I find it really hard because you sort of lose what you can talk about, because I find that when I'm seeing my friends every single day of the week, we have stuff to talk about, but when you're in isolation and you're sort of bringing up what you've been doing, you can't really say you've been doing a lot. Are you guys sort of the same?
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen some great meme content going around with people asking each other, you know, oh, what did you do today? I was in social isolation, like yesterday, like the day before that, etc. So it does make those kind of conversations hard.
I feel like I'm living in Groundhog Day. Do you know what Groundhog Day is?
Yeah.
A big part of what this podcast is about is sharing the good things that young people are doing to support each other and the community during coronavirus, and that's exactly what our first guest has done.
Kai Lavelle is a 15-year-old high school student from Perth in WA. Now, he built a website to support small business during the pandemic. The project was called Perth for Perth. And Kai spoke with Xenia from the Happydemic.
So hi, Kai. I was just wondering whether you can tell our listeners who you are and share a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on here, Xenia. Look, I'm a student first and foremost. That's my 9 to 5, year 11 this year, studying in Western Australia. I've always had a lot of curiosities. I've followed those curiosities in different directions. They've taken me on a journey of entrepreneurship, starting 3 businesses in different areas, public speaking, and sort of broadcasting as well with a bit of content creation. And more recently, I spent a lot of my time doing digital work. So the part of starting those businesses that I really loved was the websites, the systems, the design. And that's sort of what I've incorporated into what I'm now sort of operating under, which is Curiosity Digital. So that curiosity sort of is my big, guide, you know, and I use that in my process of, you know, client work for digital sort of assets and that type of thing. So freelance, you know, under that sort of business is what I spend the majority of my time on now. But yeah, first and foremost, a student.
So you've developed a website to support businesses within your community being impacted by the pandemic. So can you explain to our listeners a bit about what it was and what inspired you to make it?
Absolutely. Yeah. So obviously at the moment, it's a very challenging time for everyone, but a lot of the people that are really feeling it are sort of running small businesses, especially in hospitality, where they can't really, you know, they can't do a video call version of their sort of coffees in the morning. You know, it has to be in person. And I responded to that because, you know, there were people in my sort of extended family, obviously in my community, that were sort of feeling the burden of this really unfortunate sort of set of circumstances. So at the same time I was sort of observing that, I came across this website called Oklahomans for Oklahoma. Obviously, Oklahoma is over in the States. And what these guys in Oklahoma actually set up was this website that was listing the businesses in Oklahoma that were still open, serving food and drinks, but obviously through takeaway and delivery, they can't, you know, do it in person, so to speak. And they were actually putting all of the, I guess, the design and sort of platform they used for that open source, because I really wanted to get people around the world to set this up for their local communities. So it was being, hosted on a platform that I had used in the past, Webflow. So I love Webflow. It's what I use for all my websites. And I thought, look, this is actually something that I can probably actually run with. You know, I've got the skill set with my sort of digital background to, I guess, recreate this for Perth so that it actually works. It works effectively. And I guess the rest is history, because what I did is I got in contact with them and they were so supportive of the fact that there was going to be an Australian edition of OK for OK, so that Oklahomans for Oklahoma. So I spent day and night over about 2 or 3 days developing the sort of MVP, the minimum viable product for this site, you know, having the ability for businesses to submit if they're still open, and then to have all the back end, which I won't bore everyone with, but all the tech to make sure it worked properly. So that was sort of the reason behind it and how I sort of became so inspired to do something about it.
So you have started many projects and business ventures, as you mentioned before. So how do you get these ideas, and how is it that you stay motivated?
So I guess, as I said, it comes down to curiosity for me. And I think a lot of young people, you know, have big ambitions, which is so amazing. They have, you know, the ambitions to become a successful entrepreneur, or to put themselves out there on a YouTube channel. They have all these ideas that that sort of, I guess, accumulate as we experience life, as we read and as we, you know, have discussions with people. You know, we discover things in this sort of, you know, loophole of the internet, and we sort of go down this this area that we can just spend hours on, and that type of thing really develops these curiosities within us. And I think, you know, a lot of what I've done is, like everyone else, following those curiosities, but actually, I guess, giving myself the permission and the license to actually take it somewhere, you know, to sort of look at the fear and sort of the fear of judgment, the fear of failure, and sort of really interface with that and just sort of go, you know, what is the worst outcome if I follow this? And I guess in the context of this sort of, you know, project, it was just to try and do my part using the skills that I have to sort of support one area of sort of the population at a really tricky time for our society and our world. So I think it, you know, everything for me, and I think for a lot of people, comes down to curiosity. But if you can sort of manage the fear that then can come out of that curiosity, you know, what if I take this somewhere and this or this, you know, this or that happens? I think that's the part that will allow you to get that motivation to do something with those curiosities.
So how do you know whether an idea that you get is one that you should follow, or whether it's something that you could leave for maybe another day, or what, something that you should probably develop before pursuing it?
Yeah, so like I read a really good book over the past sort of month or two. It's called The Write It by Albert Savoy. He was actually the first engineer at Google many years ago, and has since then developed some really great methodology around validating ideas. And a lot of people, you know, even if it's just a small sort of project, not necessarily a fully fledged business, if you're wanting to start it, what I would really encourage is to put something out there in the world. You know, I'm about to launch a new sort of project, and before spending not even money, but just the time to really get that to the full, I guess, capacity or level that I'd want it to be in 6 months' time, I'm actually going to strip it down and put out for free a subset of that, a sort of a snippet, a taste, if you want. And if you put that out into the market, you actually see how it drops. You know, does it land on its feet? Does it land on its head? Are people willing to subscribe, you know, just give you their email? Or are they willing to buy as well, sort of down the track? So I think, you know, a lot of people are told, oh, you know, if you're going to start an idea, like do market research, anything like that. Not only is that like really boring to have to do, like all of that type of thing, it's actually not effective. Because if you ask someone, you know, just walking down the street, oh, Joe Blogs, would you use my website that tells you the businesses that are still open in Perth at the moment during COVID-19? Well, he might say yes, he might say no, but he hasn't got any skin in the game. He hasn't had to hand over his email address that we all protect so dearly at the moment. He hasn't had to hand over $5 or $10. So what I instead would ask is, you know, throw up an Instagram poll, put out a video, something like that, and just ask and put something out there to sort of see, as I said, how it drops, because that's a really easy way to see, without too much risk or investment in time or energy or money, if that's going to be worthwhile down the track. And that's something I've done for this website and for projects in the past as well. It's just to protect yourself and that sort of idea, I guess.
So I also watched your TED talk that you did at TEDx Perth, yeah, and you discussed how setbacks can be used to help achieve success. And I guess at this moment, one could say that COVID-19 has been a huge setback for a lot of young people. Absolutely. And students. So what are some positive takeaways that young people can get from this pandemic?
Well, here's the thing, right? I mean, that was an incredible opportunity to be able to speak at TEDx Perth. And that specific talk was on turning setbacks into opportunities, sort of about mindset. And as someone that, you know, has always been, again, very curious and sort of allowed myself to follow those curiosities, it's been a journey that hasn't all been plain sailing. There have been sort of micro mistakes. There have been, you know, large scale failures and everything in between. And, you know, I'm the first to sort of be vulnerable and sort of authentic when I sort of admit that. But I think, you know, in those moments, you know, we might not be able to control the fact that in that moment that is a failure. But what we can control is what we do next. So there's a really interesting sort of concept of, you know, the first 5 or 10 seconds, you know, or it's sort of a nominal sort of amount. That first period after you make a mistake should just be about, oh, that feels really crap, you know, and actually sitting in that emotion. You know, and one example of this is the Perth for Perth website that I developed. That ended up being sort of, I guess, superseded because the government here in WA, they actually developed a website just the same sort of concept as mine. And it was funny because I'd actually sent it to my local member for parliament, and he'd written back saying, look, you know, about 2 weeks later, it's a really great website. The state government's actually just set one up that's exactly the same. So I then decided, you know, in that moment that I probably didn't want to divide and conquer at the moment. I just probably wanted to redirect people to one central source to get that information. This was about, you know, a month or so into the project. But even in that example, you know, there is always the opportunity for us to find an opportunity, you know, to sit there and go, that's disappointing. Sure, I put lots of time and energy into it. But what is the gift in this sort of failure? What can I take away from this? Ask yourself those questions. And there's lots of different sort of areas of mindset that I've sort of developed through following those passions and those interests, and sort of stumbling along the way. But yeah, I guess sort of coming back to the question, you know, it's those sort of moments that I think can be quite sort of foundational to your next step, your next project, your next chapter, in actually how you allow yourself to sort of view and I guess take on those failures that we all experience as humans.
So what do you feel like you've learnt from all of these changes that COVID-19 has had on us? What is something that you'll take away from this?
Personally, I don't think I will, at least for a very long time, shake someone's hand or give someone a hug without feeling like this is something to be really grateful for. I think in the past, we've all sort of been susceptible to taking for granted those moments in our lives, you know, being able to share a really wonderful Sunday dinner with your whole extended family in one big room. You know, obviously now, because that's been taken away from us in a way that we can't control or blame any one person for, it's actually sort of meant that when this eventually subsides in some way at some time, we're going to come back into those experiences with such a deeper level of appreciation. At least I know I will. So I think, again, that might be one of those opportunities that we take out of this in a very sad and tragic time for a lot of people, admittedly, that we're actually going to place greater value on those little moments and those experiences going forward. And, you know, I think, Xenia, there is sort of those individual opportunities for everyone. You know, everyone is going to take something differently from that. Maybe it's in this time you've developed a really good exercise routine, or you've gotten into meditation and you carry that into your, you know, old life again, sort of as this new sort of experience. Whatever it is, I think it's been a time where we could take it in so many different directions. You could learn something online for free. You know, you could pick up an instrument, learn to sort of cook this new recipe, whatever it is. I think we're going to take into this sort of next chapter after, you know, post COVID-19, at least for myself, a much greater appreciation and gratitude for the little things, for sure.
Yeah, I definitely agree. So I guess to wrap things up, thought I might finish off with a bit of a big question.
Yeah,
so
love it.
what is the impact that you want to have in your community and the kind of impact that you'd love to leave on this world?
So this website obviously is never going to be something that would be around forever. It was meant to be a sort of a quick initiative to just sort of really, I guess, in a dirty way. And what I mean by that is sort of quick and sort of simple and to the point. In a dirty way, sort of get this set up and going and sort of generating hopefully more business and more customers to these sort of enterprises. But I think broader than that, I think it's definitely a bit of a model for people to, in these times of crisis, and this won't be the last one our society faces in terms of sort of shared crisis, thinking about what you can do, what you can bring with your passions and your individual set of skills, how you can apply them to help people at this time. You know, I would never want to be, you know, saying, oh yeah, that, you know, I'm going to be the one to invent the cure for it or the vaccine for it, because that is just not my set of passions or skills or qualifications. Similarly, the people that are doing amazing work like that probably wouldn't be the ones sitting behind a website designer either. So I think ultimately, looking at these sort of moments in time to be the times to really tap into yourself, to really look at what your curiosities are, what you wake up for every morning and get so excited about, and putting them into practice, whether it's a website to support local businesses in a global pandemic or anything else. I think that's ultimately what I'd love people to take away from this is actually to be able to celebrate those skills and passions that we all have and to use them in a really positive way going forward.
Thank you so much, Kai, for talking with us.
It's been a pleasure.
And thanks for your words of wisdom.
Yeah, absolutely, Xenia. Thanks, all the best. Stay safe.
You too.
That was Kai Lavelle speaking there with Xenia from the Happydemic about the website he built, Perth for Perth, which aimed to support small business in the city during the pandemic. Now, Dylan, a fascinating story, that one, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's really interesting because I think he was definitely onto a great idea. And I think you see that in the sense that the website he created, Perth for Perth, the WA government, a few weeks after he released that website, actually created a website which was very similar to Perth for Perth, almost exactly the same. I'm not saying WA government's copying the website of the 15-year-old, but what I am saying is
great minds
that,
think alike.
It was certainly a good idea. Great minds think alike, exactly. The bureaucrats of the West Australian government are on the same level as of Kai. So I think that's a really, really great story. In a time like this.
Absolutely.
The Happydemic is here to tell stories like this one. So if you are a young person that is doing a good thing or you know a young person doing a good thing, let us know. We'd love to talk to you. We're on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook at The Happydemic.
So here on The Happydemic, we like to look a bit on the lighter side of things that are happening during the coronavirus crisis. And obviously, entertainment and lifestyle is something that's keeping a lot of people going during this time. Somehow we're seeing more of celebrities, I think, than ever before, and certainly more of their personal lives than their houses. We had a great chance to do that, first of all, earlier in the week, or last week it'll be, for the One World Together at Home concert. This had some incredibly famous people from around the world performing in their houses. And look, it was a fantastic concert. It had a beautiful message. But we really spent a lot of time seeing just how big and amazing some celebrities' houses are, didn't we, Dylan?
Yeah, look, houses of celebrities, they've always been, I guess, a topic of fascination. I forget what show it was called, but there is like a show that goes around Hollywood and goes into people's houses. I forget what it's called at the moment off the top of my head. But I think we're always fascinated to see how the ultra-rich live their lives. And maybe, I guess, we can aspire to that. Maybe that's a societal issue in of itself, but we're not a philosophy program.
The Australian version, if you like, the Homefront concert is happening tonight. We are recording this on a Saturday. So for our listeners, I'm sure it will have already occurred. And this is a massive lineup of Australian artists. Some incredible individuals and incredible artists are going to be performing. It is interesting that it's being done on Anzac Day and being sort of presented as this kind of homage, tribute to the Anzacs, but it does feel a tiny bit tacky from my perspective. What are your thoughts on this, Dylan?
Oh, look, I mean, I don't particularly see it as tacky. I think, like, I don't think it's any more tacky than the One World concert was. And I think at the moment the world maybe needs a little bit of tackiness. To come across, maybe we need just
like
something
that
to laugh about. Basically, this whole concert's been organised in about 10 days' time, and the names on here are absolutely ridiculous.
Huge.
For organized, like this would take years to organize in a normal situation.
Crowded House, Paul Kelly, The Rubens, The Wiggles, Vance Joy, Birds of Tokyo, Ben Lee. It goes on and on and on.
Yeah, it's huge. And what's really interesting, me coming from a West Australian, Birds of Tokyo being a West Australian band, Birds of Tokyo is performing with the West Australian Symphony Orchestra.
How?
And the whole 50-piece West Australian Symphony Orchestra is in 50 different locations, and all four band members of Birds of Tokyo are in different locations. I don't know how this is going to work.
What could possibly go wrong?
I don't know how this is going to work, but I think it's going to be really interesting. I think more to talk about next week after the show, but I'm definitely tuning in. What do you think, Kendra, of this music from the home front?
Yeah, I'm the same. It's lighthearted. I think it's bringing a little bit of joy to some of us. Yeah, just good to have something different to look forward to than... I mean, every day is mundane, sort of, so I guess you can get excited about it at home front music.
Definitely. Now, Quiet Liaison are a great band, a great Australian band, and they're known for their love of classic 80s and 90s Australiana, and I like the concept of classic 80s and 90s because you don't normally think of that stuff as classic, but in this case, they are spot on. They have turned their attention to the plight of Virgin Australia and launched a petition to the federal government to bail out the airline on the condition that they rename the airline Ansett Australia. Bring it back. What do you think, Dylan?
Oh, I love this. I really love this.
I love this too.
This is amazing. This is Australians coming together at a time of great need to bring back an airline that we loved and cherished for such a long period of time. An airline that collapsed, and then a charismatic British bloke came in and started up this other Virgin Australia airline. It just wasn't the same. It was not the same. So there's a three-step plan for the future of Virgin Australia. They started a change.org petition. It's where all great change starts in Australia. Change the name from Virgin Australia to Ansett Australia. Brilliant. B, change all company branding to that of Ansett Australia, i.e. uniforms and logos on the planes. Amazing. And C, honour all frequent flyer points lost by the former Ansett Golden Wings members. And I think that is just the little cherry on top. They said, like a phoenix rising from the ashes, together we can resurrect Ansett. So please sign this petition, pressure your local MPs, and tag your friends in this post. Kendra, what do you think? Ansett Australia, back in the air.
Well, this is actually the first I've heard of this, but I think it's a great idea. Like, what's more cultural than changing this airline's name to Ansett Australia?
Would you fly with Ansett Australia, Kendra?
100%, just from the name alone. So that brings us to the end of our first Happydemic podcast. How do we feel, guys?
Super excited.
It's great. I've enjoyed it.
Been really good. Hopefully we have given you some good news to take into the week ahead. We'll be back next week, but in the meantime, please make sure you follow us on our social media. We share a heap of good news, show highlights, and more there.
We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at The Happydemic. That is Happydemic, D-E-M-I-C. Also, leave a review wherever you're listening to this podcast. It really helps people discover the show. Until next week, goodbye.
We make it easy for you. Call Ansett Airlines and Zomatic for instant answers to all your travel needs.